Then I also have one pillow I travel with, like travel pillow, but we also have pillows from the team. So, you know, it's not necessary. Like we get a lot of stuff like, you know, pillows, like
Are they nice?
mattresses. Yeah. It's like, it's really good. Pillows,
Ooh.
like mattresses, not the full one, the little mattress you put over a mattress.
Just the
And then like a
top.
duvet. Yeah, just the top, you know, if some hotels in Italy, on in Giro, the hotels are usually pretty good. But yeah, you have, like let's say the tour sometimes. It's not that great. So you want a good mattress, yeah.
G'day, legends, and welcome back to the Press Room Podcast presented by Zwift, our title sponsor. Special day today. If you're listening on release date, it is the Grande Partenza, stage one of the Giro d'Italia. It begins today, the battle for pink. And speaking of the battle for pink, we have the favorite of the race, according to the odds, and perhaps really anyone that's been following. You have to say that Richard Carapaz is the favorite, and we have one of his key climbing lieutenants on the podcast today on the Press Room, Pavel Sivakov, one of the most talented young climbers going around. And we know, of course, many years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, he finished ninth on his debut Giro. That is just insane. It gives you an idea of his climbing talent to date. So we talked with Pavel a couple of days ago and get his feelings and his thoughts about the Giro, the parkour, his preparation, I guess his thoughts on the threats to the pink jersey and who he considers are the real marked men come the mountains. And we also get the feel for, you know, what he's like as a person, and yeah, it's a real fun chat. It's super, super cool. So I hope everyone enjoys the podcast. If I wonder, are any listeners out there fan of the Velo Games Dream Team style game? Because if you are, I've created a league, okay, a Velo Games Giro d'Italia league. It is down in the link below the league code. Anyone can join, free to play. If you haven't played it before, and you're Australian, you might have played Dream Team AFL. It's very similar to that. Now, if you join the league, and then if you win the league, you will get a prize. What is that prize? It is a pair of Smith Optic Sunnies. So make sure you join and try and beat me. I'm pretty good at Velo Games. And the winner of the league will take home a pair of Smith Optics cycling sunglasses. You can choose what they are, and they'll be posted straight to you at the end of the Giro in Milan. Okay, legends, it's time for the podcast, so you know what to do. Okay, let's get on the ergo, get on the commute, and it's stage one tonight, and I'll see you. You've been to Australia for obviously the Aussie summer, like Tour Down Under,
Twice, yeah.
twice, yeah. But had you been to Australia
Yeah.
before then?
Never been. No, I've been so we used to go to my former coach's house on the Gold close to Gold Coast in Tamarind Mountain. Just a bit how many k's, maybe 50 k's or more, like even less, like 30 k's inland from Gold Coast. We used to go there. And like really end of December, the first year we went, so like 31st of December, and then second year, beginning of Jan. So yeah, I spent like 10 days, a bit less than 2 weeks there, and then go to Adelaide for Down Under.
Yeah, sick. Gold Coast is awesome place to go.
Great, yeah, it's really nice there. It's really
Yeah.
nice. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good. It's
That's
good.
cool. That's awesome. And
Well, I really enjoyed Australia in general. It was always a nice trip. It's really cool. I don't know when I'm gonna go again. Maybe for the worlds. Why not? Maybe for worlds. And then yeah, the Aussie summer. I don't know what's gonna be the schedule next year. So I haven't thought about it, to be honest.
Do you get much of a like how much, I guess, choice do you get? Can you sort of say, oh, I'd like to do these races, and then it gets considered, or can you actually pick some races in your calendar and say, I really want to do that one, and they.
Yeah, you can always suggest it. I mean, I think the hardest one to suggest is probably the tour, you know. The tour is always the hardest one to suggest in our team, but otherwise all the other races you can always say. And they'll try to fit in your schedule if you're good enough. You know, there's always plenty of guys wanting to do all the big races. So no, I think next year Darinder is back, so I guess it will be quite popular. I think a lot of guys might want to go there.
And it's so popular from what I hear everyone say because, well, obviously it's nice weather. It's relatively like easy racing, but still hard, right? Like, you know, but it seems to be that staying in the hotel in the center of Adelaide is very popular. Is that right?
Yeah, it's everything around, you know, it's the atmosphere, everything is just relaxed. Yeah, it's quite easy because you basically stay in the same hotel. You don't have to change hotels. You're like, you can, let's kind of have your like little setup for a week and just stay there. Yeah, it's just easy, you know, like all the transfers are pretty short, not like in Europe. Sometimes on the Grand Tours, you get like mad transfers. Yeah, it's just a nice trip to have, you know, like you miss that shitty weather we have usually in Europe at that time of the year. So yeah, it's a lot of things. Like you say, the racing is, I wouldn't say easy, it's pretty tough. I think it's just getting harder and harder every year. And
yeah,
but yeah, it's kind of, yeah, one of them races you really enjoy.
Now, Pavel, one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the podcast is because, well, you have a really interesting like background. And I first, I started following you when you won the Baby Giro many moons ago now. Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of noise around you then, and there wasn't so many young people coming straight into the scene and doing well straight away. And then you did the episode with the cycling podcast with obviously the late Richard Moore, and I think they did an episode about you, and I'm pretty sure you were on as well. Do you remember the cycling podcast?
It could be. I've done quite a few stuff with them. Like I've done diaries on the Grand Tours. I've done quite a lot. I'm actually normally, I think I'm going to do it again now on the Giro. It's always enjoyed actually.
Well, some people might not know, and I've got some topics I really want to talk about, but I think it's really interesting. Can you share with the listeners just your background with regards to like your parents are from different countries and then you are, can you just share your background, your heritage, where you're from, that sort of thing? Give people a background. It's really interesting.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah. So both my parents are from Russia. They're both Russians, both former professionals. My dad was racing for Big Mat, French team. Don't remember when he signed. He actually started an Italian team in Rose Lotto in 97. And that's why I'm born in Italy. So basically, I'm born in Italy. Both my parents are Russians, but I never lived in Russia. Born in Italy, and when I was 1 year old, we moved to France because my dad signed a contract with the French team. So I was 1 year old there and basically grew up in France. First, we're living close to, close to Paris, 50K, 60K away from Paris. And then when I was 8, we moved in the Pyrenees. And that's where I started cycling around maybe 13 years old. They never pushed me into cycling.
Yeah.
And yeah, my mom as well was world champion actually in team time trial with Russia twice.
Whoa.
So basically I started cycling in the Pyrenees, grew up in the Pyrenees. And now I'm still in the Pyrenees, but not in France anymore. Now I'm living in Andorra, so I'm pretty close actually to where I used to live. It's not really familiar around here. So yeah, that's a little bit like quick background, I would say.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I wondered, when you were starting cycling when you were 13 and living in the Pyrenees, how young, what was the biggest climb you did when you were 13? Did you do one of the big climbs, like right up one of the big mountains?
No, I never done like big climbs straight away. I think, my parents actually never pushed me into the big climbs or like, they never pushed me into cycling, but
yeah,
you know, usually like it's because I think sometimes, you know, like kids that start cycling, they might go into them big climbs, but I think if I remember well, you know, like my parents just understood that, you know, it's not, you don't need to go in a big climb, you know, if you're not ready to it or if you're young. So I never did it. I mean, I had plenty of big climbs around me. And also the distance you're doing at that age is not that long. So I would always ride from home. Maybe the biggest climb I would do was a 5-6 K climb. For me, it was already big at the time. You know, when you're starting big. Cycling, I just, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're starting cycling, like a 2K climb looks like, I don't know, not a Vantu, but like, you know, it's hard. Like in a race, if you just have a 500 meters kicker at that age, it's already like pretty hilly course. So, it's more, I would say, when I started to, like U17, I started to like bigger climbs. And then obviously juniors, I started to hit like proper climbs, as we call them, like here in the Pyrenees, like, you know, passes, goals. So,
I only ask that, Pavel, because I do some junior coaching here in WA, and there's one young legend that I coach who the podcast listeners will know from the first season. He used to ask questions for the pod, but I keep forgetting to ask him. But his name's Campbell, and he's only 12, but he's still I think he's won 18 state titles. He loves counting them. But if he was in the Pyrenees, he would be going straight to the big passes.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
He loves
if you come somewhere, yeah, for sure. That's true. I have a feeling now, although with all the social medias, everything you can see, like the kids are getting, you know, let's say more knowledge and more, they're more aware of what's around you. At that time, when I was at that age, we didn't have like all this information, this access to information so easily. So maybe, you know, you had like one climb just nearby, like you didn't have like a Garmin with a GPX that you would go there and do a nice loop. You would just like take your bike and go out, you know, you would just stick to what you know. I think now is obviously like in a good way, you know, you get more information straight away.
Definitely, it's easier. Well, hey, I am super excited to hear that you are going to the Giro this year again, which is really cool. It was announced this morning, at least everyone else. Really weird picture that Ineos put up with everyone. You kind of look like sort of zombie, scary people.
I honestly was surprised also. Like, I was like, what is this?
What was it?
Maybe like a statue. Like, I guess it's a statue, you know, like antique, Roman antique stuff, probably.
Yeah.
Could be this.
It was different, I do love it. They are really cool, the different sort of cards. But so exciting. And, you know, Pavel, your first Grand Tour was the Giro. 3 years ago?
Actually, no. The first Grand Tour I started was the Vuelta in 2018. Oh. I started the Vuelta, but then I crashed out. I crashed on the stage 9, I think. And then, 14. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty bad. In stage 14, I pulled out. Yeah.
Okay. I missed that one. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But
then I went.
The Giro was next, the next year. Yeah. And that was where. Well, you finished 9th, which is when really everyone was like, whoa, look at this guy. And I think from memory, I mean, I'm just kind of skimming from memory. I think maybe Dombrowski was also sniffing around the similar time as you that year, maybe. I just remember you and someone else, you were also up there together, like in that sort of 7th to 9th spot in the last week. But nonetheless, like, how old were you then? You would have been...
22 maybe, like, yeah, 21 turning 22 that year.
It must feel really good to go back to the Giro, because I imagine that was such a positive race for you. And since then, in the Grand Tours at least, maybe things haven't gone as right as they did in the Giro.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even last year's Giro, I was ready and, you know, crashed out stage 5 or 6, I don't remember. And then the year before, I did the tour, and then also I crashed on day 1. Was terrible experience. But yeah, as you say, you know, I'm really hoping, let's say, for a bit of luck on my side. I mean, you create your own bad luck and luck, I would say. But yeah, I think I really hope this year is going to be positive. I'm really looking forward to it. I think should be a nice race.
Yeah, and you've done a kind of similar build up again to the last time because you've done the Tour Alps beforehand as well. You raced really well in that race, aggressive and like.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect race for the Giro. It comes like actually a good period before. So basically you finish Alps, you still have time to recover, get a good training block in the legs, and then let's say taper for the Giro, get fresh. And then, I've done a good build up from there, but I also missed a bit of racing in the beginning of the season. So I did Tour of Valencia. Then I was supposed to do UAE Tour. Sadly, I got COVID, so postponed this. But I had to pull out from that race, and then I had a really good block of training with some altitude, and I was in a really good shape for Tour of Catalunya, Volta de Catalunya. And there again, I got sick after the second stage.
Yep.
Really struggle on the third stage and on the fourth stage. I had to stop again. You know, in these situations, there was a lot of sickness around actually this year. First it was COVID, and then like a weird wave hit the peloton with some, we don't even know what it is. Like a lot of riders in our team, in the other teams, were just pulling out with diarrheas, with coughs, with bronchitis. I don't know what, mix of things. And no one knows what this was really. And that's how it is, nothing you can do really. So then I just reset, recovered, and had a good altitude camp in Sierra Nevada in Spain. And then Tour of the Alps, I was a bit unsure about the shape, but it's been great. So
You turned up really well for the Tour of the Alps. Like you're right up there, and I'm sure it must be weird turning up to a race where when you're unsure of how you're going, and like I imagine having that Tour of the Alps, it went really positive for you. I guess it probably makes you feel a little bit better going into the Giro knowing, I'm actually going okay.
Definitely. It's a kind of a test. I wasn't expecting anything as well. I was like, just go there and see how are the legs. I haven't raced for a while. I've done a good training camp. Like for sure I'll be good, but was a bit unsure of how good. And no, it's been really positive. I mean, except the last stage where I did a mistake. It was really cold and wet. And, actually, I haven't raced in bad weather for a while. And I can say, I almost forgot how to dress, And, I went a bit light. And then when you get cold.
That's it.
In days like this, that's it. I kind of limit the losses, but I wasn't where I should have been on that stage. So, it's a bit shit, but it's better to do that mistake, I think, now than in the Giro. In the Giro, it's a race where you always get tricky weather. And I think look at it on the positive side. Obviously, I would have been maybe up there in GC a bit closer, but
still,
it's the Tour of the Alps. Still okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested. I mean, I want to go through the team. The team is humming. If anyone's, all the teams are announced now, so everyone can go and actually look at them. But your team, Navarraz, Puccio, Ben Tullett, who not many people might know about Tullett yet, but he can move on the Bergs. Castrovejo, Ben Swift, Port, yourself, Pavel Sivakov. That's a really sick team. And, of course, Carapaz. But actually, I've got Carapaz. I don't know if you'll be able to see this. This is, Pavel, this is a sign, mate. This is a sign, okay? There he is, the man.
Oh, yeah.
That's him. So my friend of mine, Cycling Images, or Russ Ellis, you might have known him.
Yeah,
Do you know Russ?
Yeah, I know Russ. Yeah,
yeah. We used to work together.
Cool guy. Yeah.
We used to work together, and I had to get that print off him.
And now he does really good, really good shots. Hey, yeah. The best. I would say the best.
Yeah, he's really good. I just love that picture. And it's even when you zoom in, you can see everything, the transponder, the pink jersey. I mean, people can't see this. Maybe I'll put a picture up. It's Richard Carapaz in the pink jersey, riding for Movistar. It's awesome. Anyway, that's a sign, Carapaz. But the team is so good, Pavel. But I wonder, does it, I mean, obviously Carapaz is going really good. I imagine he's the leader backing up. But is it motivating for you to be like be that last man in the mountain stages? You know, it's often a position that's celebrated, like, for, you know, people always remember that last man in the mountain train. You know, we think about Port, Geraint Thomas, Danny Martinez from last year with Egan Bernal, those moments. Like, is it motivating to you, at least at this stage in your career, to go, I'd love to be the last man launching Carapaz on those mountain stages?
Definitely. I think it's really motivating for me. That's definitely my goal for this race. I mean, I guess we'll share this with Richie, you know, because Richie, honestly, he's one of the best climbers in the world. Yeah. So we'll share that with him, you know. And no, I think for me at that stage of my career is definitely motivating. I think, you know, in our team, it's really hard, like, to be like leader of a race. You need to, you need to be one, like, obviously able to win the race. And I think I'm in a stage where, you know, if I can do it, if I can show it, I can be up there, like, regularly up there with the best in the mountains, you know, trying, you know, like, at my own, like, I already had shots and GC sometimes in the team, but, you know, like, let's say step up and maybe on the next race, like, be able to go for myself. But now the goal, yeah, for me is like, as like you say, be the last man, be there to support Richard every day, because we believe and we know that he can win the race. He's done it before, and I think the course suits him really well. He's really aggressive. He's really aggressive rider. It's a bit punchy, tricky finishes. So basically, for him, it's perfect. The TTs are not too long, so
yeah.
I don't think he might even like gain sometimes on some GC guys. Not lose time. So I think it's really motivating for us. To just go there. And I think the team is also really balanced.
It is.
You know, we have like guys for every kind of terrain. I think the roster is really good.
It really is. It's such a well-rounded team. I mean, you've got, like you said, you've got all bases covered, really. When you mentioned earlier about the tapering process. So the taper, as I know it from my sports science background, usually is, for a one-day event, I don't know, you might be 7 to 9 day sort of taper, maybe lowering volume and maintaining intensity. But obviously for Grand Tours, it's completely different, dependent on how the first, maybe how the stages are structured. And obviously you've got that TT at the start, well, prologue. Oh, it's a TT. It's, what is it? Five?
It's actually stage two. We have a roads normal stage.
Road stage
one, and then TT
kicks up.
Yeah.
And then the TT is the second stage in Budapest. Wow, impressive. But I wonder with those TTs, do you have to like just sort of play around with the taper a little bit, so you still like you don't want to be peaking in the final week all out? You still want to have, I don't know, like you have to shape your form like that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when it's really short, you won't, you never want to lose time, but you'd rather be strong in the third week than being a peak on the first week. I always struggled with a prologue on day one because, I don't know, it was like more kind of an opener for me. This year is nicer to have one stage and then prologue and then like TT the day after. So you kind of get, unblock the legs on the day one, you know, maybe if you feel a bit blocked at the start, you know, it can go away like through the stage and you might feel fine towards the end. And the finish is to, like the hard bit on that stage is towards the end. So, I think, obviously you don't want, like in my role this year, you know, I'm not going for GC there. So, for me, the most important bit will be like, obviously, you know, the mountains, which it comes a bit later in the race. So I can come fresh, you know, and be ready for a really hard 3 weeks. Of course, I think if you're a rider who really aims on the first week, you might prepare differently, you know, you might maybe train a bit harder the week before, like do a bit more like intensity sessions the week before. But yeah, obviously, I think at the end of the day, no matter what you do, you just want to get the volume down, you know, you don't want to have too much volume in that week leading to the Giro.
Okay. I remember in the past when Sky, well, it was Team Sky at the time, but Ineos had a really good run with the tours with Froome, and they're now one of the tactics, one of the sort of experience they used to employ was almost resting domestiques for a day. So they might, on a certain mount stage, right, they had Lander, they had Pauls, and then they'd save Port and say Port just cruise in the Gruppetto this day. And then the next day they'd rest Pauls and then bring up Port, like kind of like play around with it that way. And like, I wondered, do you think things like that can still work, or do you just have to be ready at any day?
I think it can work, definitely. That's why we have different guys, you know, they're up in the mountains. But obviously you have to be ready every day. You never know how anyone will feel the day after. You know, you always have to focus on your recovery and be ready to go the day after. But obviously this is more, you know, like a decision that is made on the day. You know, let's say someone is feeling a bit tired or didn't recover really well. You can make the decision, okay, like with the yeses with everyone, okay, like today I'm not feeling really good. So maybe you just go and take it a bit more easy in the final, like do your job and don't like overdo it, so you can be more recovered and ready to go again the day after. I think that's the strength of our team, you know, because we have so many strong guys, we can play on that. You know, if someone has a hard day, someone else can come and help and like back you up, you know. And that's a good thing.
All right, well, what about this? I'm going to read out some names, and I just want you to maybe call out one name that is the most dangerous rider that you'll have your eye on, okay? For the Giro. Mikel Landa, Pau Bilbao, Miguel Angel Lopez, or Superman, as they call him, Vlasov, Hindley, Carthy, Dumoulin, Tobias Foss, Almeida, Valverde, and Jan Hurt.
I think Vlasov is not racing. I think Vlasov is doing the Giro.
Oh, it's Kelderman. Kelderman. He is doing.
Oh, sorry, doing the tour, not the Giro. Sorry.
That's my bad. Yeah. Bora have a good team. That's right. They've got Bookman, Kelderman, Hindley. Okay.
Yeah.
Replace. Forget I said.
And you forgot Simon Yates as well. I think that's one name. Like for me is one guy, you know, we'll have to follow closely. I think he'll be ready. And then I would pick Landa. If you want three names, I would say Simon Yates, Landa, and for GC, last one. Like for the podium, I would say Landa, Simon Yates, and Almeida, yeah.
He's pretty handy too. Yeah, God, I don't know how I forgot about Simon Yates.
If I have to pick three guys, them three,
Simon Yates is a great rider. He runs hot and cold. You can never tell when he's class.
I think he got sick as well in Catalonia. That's why he was like off the radars for a while. Yeah. A lot of guys got sick on that race. So I think, but I'm sure he trained well and he just won yesterday in Asturias. So
I saw.
I think he's moving. He's moving.
He'll probably win tonight too. I saw the stage.
Yeah.
I think he'll win quite easily.
I actually like
Simon Yates because he backs himself in. I like when he says, I remember when he said that line in the interview, he said, I'd be shitting myself if I was racing against me. And I love that because, you know, a lot of people play it cool, but he was just like, you know, I'm riding good. but okay, how about this? I'm conscious of the time. What are you always packing when you go on a grand tour? 3 weeks away, 3 weeks plus away. what do you always pack? What do you, that makes you feel good that you just have to bring?
One thing I always pack, no matter if it's a run tour, right? I always take some good coffee, my AeroPress with me. I always got that. Like every race, with a little kettle. So yeah, just have this. This actually makes me feel good. Like this morning routine, grinder, hand grinder, just
hand grinder.
My good coffee.
Nice.
Good AeroPress, yeah. I think it's the best one to travel with. I mean, there is a V60 option, more like Chemex, but
yeah, the pouring. I had this exact conversation with Kel O'Brien just 2 days ago, and he does this.
It's
so good though, isn't it?
Although when we have the kitchen truck, we have a really good coffee machine there. So
in the
proper espresso machine, yeah, in the kitchen truck.
That's nice.
But I'm always waking up early, so I always make like one brew in the morning before to go there. Just have my brew in the room and then go for breakfast. That's the first thing I always pack. Then really, that's the only like kind of proper routine I have. You know, all the other stuff is like pretty basics. You know, like maybe one book, although it's sometimes it's. You know, I find that reading sometimes can be tough when you're really tired.
You start falling asleep.
Grab a book. Obviously, like iPad, you know, to watch some Netflix or whatever. You don't want to take too much. I'm always like, I need to take this, and this. And I always realize that, you know, I took a lot of stuff that I didn't need really. You don't need that much. And now I'm trying to pack a bit less every time, you know. At the end, I have like a massive suitcase, super heavy, a lot of like clothes and different kits. But at the end, I'm not using most of them or most of it. So this time I'll try to be a bit more light.
Sounds like bike packing. You just get used to.
I also have one pillow I travel with. Like travel pillow, but we also have pillows from the team, so you know it's not necessary. Like we get a lot of stuff, like, you know, pillows, like
are they
mattresses. Nice? Yeah. It's like it's really good pillows, like mattresses, not the full one, the little mattress you put over a mattress, and then like a duvet. Yeah, just the top. You know, if some hotels. In Italy, in the Giro, the hotels are usually pretty good. Like let's say you tour sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, great. So you want a good mattress, yeah.
I've heard some horror stories from other riders about some of the hotels. The Giro always seems you get put up in quite nice.
Honestly, I think Giro, like let's say, I guess, as the staff a few times, I think for the staff is the best one, the best Grand Tour. Because it's really good food.
Yeah.
Usually nice hotels. Food is great in Italy.
Okay. Well, speaking of food, because I love food, at the end of the Giro, you can have a great tour no matter what happens. What meal do you want to see in Milan, the final? What do you want to eat after a grand tour? Do you really crave something?
Yeah, simple pizza. I just want some pizza and beer at the end. Yeah.
Everyone says
just
pizza.
typical. Yeah, I mean, especially in Italy, you don't want to go and sit in a restaurant. You want something quick. You just arrive and smash a good pizza after that.
What's on the pizza, Pavel? What's on it?
Well, I'm pretty easy, to be honest. Bit of prosciutto, maybe burrata, prosciutto burrata. And a bit of spicy sauce, that would be good. Like just tomato, prosciutto, burrata.
Yeah,
that would be a good one. Like or Parma ham, just some like type of ham, Italian ham. And then obviously after this, I don't know, like a nice, on the day after going to Italy somewhere for a nice pasta, like carbonara or something. That would be good. And some vino. That's when you finish straight away at the bus. You want some pizza and beer, and then. Later, maybe in the evening, you want like good meat with some nice pasta and vino. Yeah, I think that's good.
Oh, mate, that's amazing. Like those moments, I bet, after the moments in the race, But I bet those moments after you finish a Grand Tour, no matter what happens, it'd just be, you'll never forget them, like those moments in the bus.
They That's good.
That's cool. All right, well, that's really good. 34 minutes. I don't want to keep you any longer. I was so grateful to talk to you, Pavel, and chat about the Giro. And I'm sure the listeners love hearing about some of that stuff and me forgetting about Simon Yates. So, well, I'll this episode, it'll maybe a couple of days before the Giro. I'll let you know. But thanks again for coming on, mate.
Perfect. No worries. My pleasure.
I'll see you at Tour Down Under next year.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Cool.
Cheers.
See you, mate. All right, legends. That's another episode of the Press Room Podcast done and dusted. Huge thank you to Pavel Sivakov for coming on the Press Room Podcast. Guys, that's another Ineos Grenadier done. Can you see what I'm doing? Plappy messaged me during the week and he said, mate, another Ineos Grenadier. That's right. I'm coming for them all. Can I get a whole 10? It's like trying to collect the set, which is funny because they actually do that in the Giro. It's called the, what's it called? They get the stickers, the Panini books. That's what it's called. Anyway, who should I get next? From the Ineos Grenadier, send me a message and we'll go after him. We'll get him on the podcast. Anyway, make sure you sign up to the Velogames League. You could win a Smith Optics pair of sunnies if you beat me. And also, my preview for the stage 1. Can I get it right? I put myself out there at the end of the podcast. I think Ewan's going to get dropped. I think Cavendish is going to get dropped. But I don't think Guillaume or VDP is going to win. I think it's going to be someone random. Because stage 1, well, it's a chaos ball. Anyway, legends, thanks for listening. Don't forget to leave a review on the Press Room Podcast, Apple, Spotify, whatever. Thanks to Zwift. Thanks to Smith. And I'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.